Hello and welcome to the Summit Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. You can follow and stay connected by going to our website, www.thesummitchurch.ca.
Church, I am so excited to be here today. This is traditionally celebrated as Pentecost Sunday. Amen. This is a day where Jesus put power to his church, and it's such an easy day to preach. It's such an easy day to teach on what really happened in the upper room and the events leading to the upper room. This is such an incredible time that we live in because we have the knowledge and the understanding of what was going on, and so often we miss the truth of what happened in those days because we know the fullness of the story. We know we've read to the end of Revelation. We know how it all worked out. But if we were to go back and listen and watch and see firsthand at what these disciples turning into apostles were living in the time that they were, it was a time of more questions than answers. You know, and I touched on it last week at the West End. And listen, I'm going to tell you right now, we understand that West End is just a hot spot, but last weekend, West End was a hot spot. We had such an outpouring of the Holy Spirit last weekend in that hotel room. You know, some people were worried that what's it going to look like when we meet in a hotel room? I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be okay because the same Holy Spirit that fell on this place and that fell on you is falling on the West End. And we are in for an awakening that we've dreamed about, that our intercessors have prayed into for years. Church, we are in good hands. Amen. And just the understanding of what was going on in traditionally in this time in the apostles and the disciples' life. They had questions. They didn't understand. All they did was they went back to a room on a command from a man who called his own raising from the dead. They didn't know what it would look like. They didn't understand what was going on. See, the conversation in Luke chapter 24 and verse 45 or 49 predominantly, and Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, that's the exact same conversation. It was written by the same author, just at two different times. You know, in Luke 24, 49, Jesus said this. He said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And the only thing that these disciples had to go on was the fact that Jesus said that he would not only die, which doesn't make him a great prophet. It didn't make him a great man. The fact that he would call his own death. We could all prophesy that one day we will die and it will come to pass. It doesn't make you a great prophet. But he said to them, on the third day, I will be risen. I will rise. I will come back to you. Not in spirit form, but in the likeness that I am right now, just with a couple other scars. So the only thing that these disciples had was a word from a man who called his own resurrection. And they thought to themselves, I don't know, you know, and I'm just kind of using my imagination. It's okay to use your imagination. God gave it to you, so use it. And now that you're reformed and renewed, it's healthy. So think on it, reflect on it, meditate on what's really going on. You know, they're asking themselves the question, what does this mean? And until we are endued, you know, that word endued literally means clothed. Go back into the city and stay there until you are clothed with power from on high. They don't have a grid. They don't understand what's truly going on. They can't get a grid for what is going on in this conversation. All they know is I'm going to trust the one that's saying this to us. So there they do. They go back into this upper room. They go back to this place where we understand is the upper room, where we believe that that's where they ate the Last Supper. So they go back to this place and they wait. And do you know, historically, they say that these men waited for 10 days in this room. Now we know, I would say to you and you would say to me, well, I would go back and wait because of what they received. I'm going to tell you this, and this is the honest truth. They had no idea what it would look like. They had no idea what was going on. They didn't understand the fullness of this promise. They didn't understand the fullness of this power that Jesus spoke about. All they knew was that He told them to go back, and in Acts chapter 1, and what we know is verse 8, he said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. The Lord was about to put power to his commission. But they didn't know what it would look like. They didn't have a grid. They didn't have an understanding. They were in first person. They were living in the moment. They didn't get the fullness of the word. They didn't have a great understanding of what was going on. They're still trying to chew on the parables that Jesus was sharing when he was on the earth. They're still chewing on these things that Jesus did. They're still reflecting on the power that they just saw working through Jesus' hands. They're still thinking about the time that Jesus sent them out with the Spirit, not the Spirit in them, but with the Spirit to go and do these things. They're still chewing on these moments. I mean, this was an action-packed 3 years. I mean, we come out of one service. It's, you know, the Spirit moves mightily, and we're just like, whoa. The intercessors come out of the back room. They just pour out of the back room, and they're still like, whoa, what just happened? You know, could you imagine walking in three and a half years of this wonder-working power? You're seeing 5,000 men alone be fed with 5 loaves and 2 fish. You're watching as an epileptic son, it gets healed in an instant. You're watching as Lazarus is raised from the dead after being dead 4 days. I mean, you are watching. Walking out of these things, you're still on this high and you're trying to consider. Now Jesus says, I'm going to put this power in you. You are going to be clothed with this power because of what I'm saying to you. I'm trying to bring the commission alive in your heart. You see, on the mount, the commission fell upon their ears, but in the upper room, the commission came alive in their hearts. And they didn't know it would be 10 days, but I promise you, I believe with all of my heart, that if anybody, Peter and John, would have stuck there for a year, they would have just hung out because of the things that they witnessed. Peter himself walking on the water. John laying upon the breast of Jesus at the Last Supper. I mean, there was an intimacy that was built here. So they were ready for the long haul. And I promise you, being the leaders that they were, everybody else that was with them for those years would have stayed and followed. But they waited. They waited and they waited. And they waited. The Bible says, in I believe it's 1 Corinthians 15, it says that when Jesus rose from the dead, he was seen by 500 of the brethren. These would have been the men and the women that were closest to him that probably would have heard him say, it's okay because on the third day I will rise. Which means that after he rose, they saw him. And I tell you this, if it was me, I would not leave his side. Which means they would have heard him express the words, you go back into Jerusalem and you wait until you are endued with power from on high. But we know on the day of Pentecost, when it had fully come, there was only 120 people left in that room, which tells me that some got tired of waiting. Some got tired of lingering. Some got tired of hanging out. Some got tired of just resting in a place and in a promise. Church, this will not be us in this season. This will not be us in this season. We will not get tired in waiting. We will not get tired in lingering because we know the power that accompanies the lingering. We know the power that accompanies the waiting. Listen, I'm going to tell you this right now. Our children's pastor stepped up 2 weeks ago in our staff meeting and said this, that she was grieved. Listen, I've preached it. You've heard it. It's online. It's everywhere. It's been in London. It's been everywhere that I've preached. And I've said this. I've said these words, that the church should be the most influential institution on the face of the earth. And I fully believe that. But guess what? When she stepped up and she said, I was so upset when they deemed the church a non-essential in this country. And it hit me like a truck. And I thought to myself, I believe these things with my mind. And I think the church should be influential, but do I really believe it with my heart? And it caused me in that moment to grieve over my own thinking, over my own thoughts. And I thought to myself, never again will the church be deemed a non-essential in this country, because we're not going to get tired in the waiting. We're not going to get tired in the lingering. We're going to wait upon the Lord. We're going to do what he needs us to do. And if that's just sit and wait, that's what we will do. And if it's for 10 days, then so be it. Will it be frustrating? You better believe it will, because I can't sit for 10 minutes without trying to do something. But these men waited, they stayed, and they hunkered down. and they encouraged themselves. They encouraged one another to just wait a little longer. Because the Lord knew and the Lord wanted that commission to come alive in their hearts. He was about to put power to the words that he, listen, this is what he said to them. He said, all authority has been given to me. This is what he said. All authority has been given to me. Go therefore. So essentially what he's saying to his disciples is this: everything that the Father has wanted to do, he's put in my heart and he's placed upon my shoulders. And what I'm about to do is I'm going to go back to heaven and I'm going to sit at his right hand. And because Holy Spirit will not be needed in the heavens, I'm going to send him down to you. If I stay here, he's just going to want to be with me. So I'm going to go so that I can release myself back into this world, but multiplied. Because my Father has given me that authority. He's not only given me authority over the earth and over sickness and over darkness. He's given me authority to do what I see needs to be done. And it's his perfect plan. And we've come together in this. So I'm going to send you out, but not without power. In John chapter 14, verses 23, he says this. He says, a little while longer, the world will see me, but then no more. But you will see me because you live. Because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said this to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Jesus said this thing to them. He said, I am telling you these things so that you will be strengthened. Jesus spent a good portion of these moments at the Last Supper teaching them about Holy Spirit, what he would be like when he came, what he would do when he came to them, what it would be like, how they would learn, how they would understand. He said, listen, you don't need to worry about what you know and what you don't know and what you can remember and what you can't remember, because when he comes, he will remind you of everything I said. He will be the one that will convict the world of what's been going on. He will be the one that will teach you. He will be the one that will comfort you. He will be the one that you need, and he will be the one that you can lean on. And you don't have to worry about what you know and what you don't know, what you remember and what you don't, because he'll take you through it all. He'll lead you in absolute truth. Amen? He will lead you in absolute truth. He said these things to them. And you can find the references. I'm going to give the references after what I say. But I want you to go and I want you to study these, because what I need us to do. You see, we as an apostolic leadership, I want you to understand something. Everybody online and everybody in this room. We talk to the extreme. When we talk about Holy Spirit, you see, I have a bucket list. Anybody have a bucket list? Anybody online have a bucket list? I do. Whether it's right or it's wrong, I've got one, and I'm stroking them off as I go. But at the top of my bucket list, it says this: to raise the dead. Yeah. But that's, listen, I have a very extreme nature. That's what I want to see. Listen, we're not just going to go, and we're not just going to go heal the sick. We're going to raise the dead. You know, but that's not on everybody's grid right now. People are like, well, I'm just working up enough strength to talk to my neighbor about Jesus. And guess what? Holy Spirit will lead you into that. He is the one who testifies of Jesus. It's steps. It just didn't happen, you know, right away. You work into these things. But legitimately, that's on the top of my bucket list. I want to raise the dead. Jesus said in chapter 14 of the book of John in verse 12, he said that you will do these things that I do. And then what did he say? And even greater things. Because we have the numbers. You know that in this room right now, there is a greater number of us than when Jesus was in the earth. Because when he was in the earth, Holy Spirit was in him. It was him that they clamored for. It was him that they chased after. It was him that they thronged because the power was in him to heal. And then he said, listen, I'm about to multiply myself in the earth, and I'm going to give you the power to do so. Whether you're working up enough strength and courage to talk to your neighbor, or you're working up enough strength and courage to heal the sick, or whether you're working enough strength and power to go and raise the dead, I am with you. I am there with you. You will do greater things. John chapter 14 and verse 12, he said, when Holy Spirit comes, you will receive whatever you ask. And I often thought about this because, you know, when you first get saved, you're immature in your faith and you think, well, listen, if he's telling me I'll receive whatever I ask, I'm going to start praying for the material things. I'm going to start praying for the Ferrari, and I'm going to start praying for the bigger home, and I'm going to start praying for the greater job with the more money. But then all of a sudden you get his heart and you begin to see the things that he sees, and he begins to just overwhelm your heart with his power and his love. And you begin to pray the things that he wants, and you begin to speak the things that he's speaking, and you begin to say the things that he's saying, and all of a sudden you realize that whatever I ask, listen, I've asked for great things. I've asked for the salvation of friends and family, and guess what I've received? Maybe not in my timing, but in his. We've received the salvation of friends. We've received the healing for other people. We've received healing for our own bodies. See, we begin to ask the things that he wants, and he begins to answer. Amen? That's a big deal. That is a big deal. He says, listen, and this is a big one, especially for our day. He said he will cause the world to realize their separation and become the moral standard. You don't have to do it. Listen, some of you know my testimony, some of you don't. But I was saved on my honeymoon. But for almost 2.5 years before that, when dating Heather, you know, we had our first child before we were married. And I had to listen to the church tell me every time I showed up how I was doing life wrong, how I was heading down the wrong path. And I rebelled even harder against the church. I was like, I don't want any of this junk. As soon as I marry this girl, I'm never going to church again. Well, the Lord knew. That's okay. You can say what you want, but you have no idea my plan for you. And on my honeymoon, there was a believer there. And he gunned me down. And he saw the mandate. And he saw the mission. And I didn't want to be part of that mission, but the Lord had other plans. But he began to speak potential. He began to speak truth. He began to speak in love and open my heart. Till one night when I fell asleep, the Lord did a work, and I woke up the next morning absolutely transformed. Listen, Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will let the world know how separated they are. He will become the moral standard. All you have to do is be the deliverer of the love of Christ that the Holy Spirit has empowered you to do. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, when my father was in the earth, we would have conversations. And some of those conversations revolved around a might be change of life for him. But every time we got to that point, he would tell me, don't you try to preach to me. Don't you try to tell me what I'm doing wrong. So I let Holy Spirit work. I let Holy Spirit do his thing. And 4 days before he died, he came to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Listen, Holy Spirit has to do the work. He will cause the world to realize their separation and become the moral standard. That's in John chapter 16 and verse 8. He said in John 16, 13, he said, he will lead you in and into absolute truth. He will lead you in absolute truth, and he will lead you into absolute truth. Listen, when you surrender and when you yield to Holy Spirit, you'll never walk in the wrong. You'll never walk the wrong way. You'll never be led astray because He is the plumb line. He is absolute truth. He will always lead you back to Jesus. So Jesus wasn't worried about what they would do after they received the Spirit. Jesus was just wanting them to wait in a place that they could receive the Spirit. A place of yieldness, a place of readiness, a place that would cause hunger to arise. Could you just imagine the dynamics in that room just alone with, I think often about, you know, Peter, obviously, because he's the loudest one. He's the one that's out there. I think of John because he's the lover. And they both, for some strange reason, they're both my character. I'm the loud guy, but I'm the lover. But we often forget about Andrew, and Andrew was easy to forget about. Andrew was up there, and Andrew was the analytical guy. Andrew was the, okay, guys, listen, this is the way that it's going to be. We're going to calculate out 10 days, and if he's not here, you know what I mean? This is Andrew. We forget about the dynamics in that room, and could you imagine somebody like Peter, and I picture Peter being on such a high, yet such a low. So he's going back and he's super excited about what Jesus just said. The fact that he just watched Jesus ascend to heaven and he's running on that adrenaline. But after day 1.5, he's sitting there thinking, well, what are we doing, guys? Well, you know what? Let's just throw dice and see who's going to replace Judas. You know, let's just figure out how to pass the time. You know, let's just do these things. But all of a sudden they got into a mode where they thought, let's just hang. Let's just wait. You know, and I guarantee you some people in the room were getting anxious. You know, they were still unsure about who knew that they were gathering. Are they on the most wanted list? What's going on? It wasn't this somber prayer meeting. It was a place of conversation, and it was a place of remembrance, and it was a place of what ifs, and it was a place of, well, how are we going to escape if they kick down the door? It was a place of, what are we going to do if this is the case? And I can picture Peter mustering up enough strength again to lead these men. Say, guys, let's just hold on. We have to remember the one who told us to come back here. We have to remember what has just happened these last 3.5 years. We have to consider everything that he did and everything that he spoke to us. And now he's telling us that we should wait here until we're clothed with this power. Well, Peter, what does the power look like? I don't know what the power looks like. I just know he told us to wait. You know, day 6, day 7. I think of Peter, have you lost your marbles? Have we already received it? Should we just go? And, you know, a lot of us, when we're in conversation with the Lord, and I'm sitting back there, and I know what Chris is saying. I know what he's speaking. I know what it's like to have a conversation with the Lord. But then there are some thinking that, well, was this an audible conversation? How do you have a conversation with the Lord? And teaching every one of us in this room, it's different. For me, it's a lot of pictures. It's a lot of showing. It's a lot of, you know, what's going on in the world, and then he brings a spiritual message to it. Sometimes he just speaks quietly to my heart, you know. But these men are in this place. Like, have we received it? A lot of us pull the chute early and get out of what the Lord's trying to do because we think we've already received it. What would happen if we just lingered a little longer? What would happen if we got to day 8 and we thought, you know what, we're 8 days in, we're not going to leave now? Well, Peter, what does it look like when it comes? I can't tell you though. I can't give you the answers. But what I know is he said, wait. And if he's saying wait and he's saying power, I know that we'll recognize it when it comes. Day 9, he's thinking, oh my gosh, you know, am I wrong? Am I leading these guys astray? Have we got it? What does it look like? You know, Peter, because he's Peter, and if Peter's anything like me and me anything like Peter, he's all of a sudden doubting his decision. He's thinking, did I make the right decision? Oh my gosh, I'm out of here on this cliff and I'm about to jump. Did I make the right decision? Because this looks brutal. But then he thinks to himself, you know what, guys, let's give it one more day. Let's just wait. Let's just hang out. Let's linger and let's wait. Because Jesus, he commanded us, he told us that it's important for us to be here and for us to wait. They had no idea the plan. They had no idea the purpose. They had an understanding. Jesus said, these things that I do, you will also do, and greater things than these. But what does that look like? What does that look like for the Summit movement in these days? What does it look like to do the greater things? Do we have to love deeper? Do we have to linger longer? Yes, all of it. Do we have to go and do we have to affect our governments? Do we have to pray a little longer for them? Do we have to pray a little harder for them? Yes, we have to do all of it. What does it look like? I don't know. We don't know. But we're willing to wait and we're willing to see because we know the fullness of the Holy Spirit is greater than anything in this earth, than any decision. I'm not worried about what this was all about. I'm not worried about the conspiracy theories anymore. I could care less because I know they could take us out and we just got a better place to be. I heard a spiritual father one time say, what, you're going to threaten me with paradise? You know, you're going to threaten me with a banquet table with so much food on it that I could eat for eternity and never get through it? I mean, come on. We think this is the fullness of what the kingdom is. My gosh. This is just the kingdom on earth. You wait to see what we're about to inherit. I'm not worried. We're not worried. I'm going to tell you right now, I can look you right in the camera. Or look you right in the eyes and tell you, we're not afraid. We are not afraid. The Lord has put a new fire in our bellies. And we are about to flip Edmonton right side up. Jesus made promises like this. He said, as you send me into the world, Father, I'm going to send them into the world in the likeness of, in the same manner, with the same power, with the same authority that you sent me, I'm sending them. With the same authority that you sent me, I'm sending them. He said, by this, my Father is glorified. After he talks about abiding in him, and us in abiding in him and him in us. He said, my Father's glorified by you bringing much fruit. He's not just talking about you being a good person. He's talking about you glorifying him in this earth. When you bring fruit into this earth, when you walk out of these doors and you begin to minister love in any way, shape, or form to your neighbor, to your enemy, you are bringing the Father glory because you are bearing fruit. You are given the opportunity to change a life. The word martus in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 literally means this, martyr. The word witness is martus in the Greek, which literally means martyr. Guess what? Listen, I don't know who said that to you, but I'm going to find that intercessor and I'm going to hug him or her because that was the most incredible thing that I've heard you say. Do not waste a good death. Listen, you cannot kill what's already dead. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes, you'll receive power to become a martyr for me. You will give your life over to me. You'll become a martyr to me, a witness to me, a record to me in the nations. Listen, you are a result. I am a result of these men waiting and lingering in an upper room. Because if they never did, if they pulled the chute and got out early, we would have never been given the opportunity to know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They set the precedent for a waiting and a lingering like nobody has before, and I don't think since. Because that is the greatest thing that I've ever witnessed, whether by word or by vision, this upper room experience. And on this day, traditionally, we get to celebrate that. We get to celebrate it by saying, Holy Spirit, here we are. We're lingering and we're waiting. We want a move again. Listen, he just didn't move that day. He continued to move through their prayer meetings. The walls continued to shake. He's available, as available to you as you want. He's available to me as I want. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. I just want to give you a couple references. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, it says, and when they prayed, the place that they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. Listen, they would continue to gather, and the Holy Spirit would continue to infill. The Holy Spirit would continue to endue, and the Holy Spirit has not stopped doing this. He is faithful in giving as much of himself to you as you want. So how much do you want? Do you want it all? Do you want everything that he's offering? Or do you want just a little bit to get you through today? A little bit to get you through worship? A little bit to get you through the word? A little bit to just get you through this week? Listen, I want a little bit, and I want a lot of it. I want a little bit, and a little bit, and a little bit, and I want a lot of it. I want it moment by moment. I want it week by week. I want it day by day, because I know what the Lord has put on us. And I'm going to speak to me. I know what the Lord has put on me personally. And I know that I cannot go without being filled at every single moment. Amen. Can I get somebody up here to bless these keys with their presence? Acts chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. This is, if you've got the New King James Version, it's probably saying above this portion of Scripture, the continuing power of the church, the continuing power in the church. In verse 12 of Acts chapter 5 says this, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out in the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. And also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing the sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all. Say it with me, all. Say it with me, all. They were all healed. You know, many teachers have gone throughout decades and centuries and said, listen, this type of the moving of the Spirit was for the initial church. It was for the early church, and I don't buy that. I've had too many experiences with Holy Spirit to know that it wasn't just for a moment, but it was for his body. It was for his glory. Holy Spirit was given to us so that he could be glorified in the earth. And whether that's by word or what by deed, whether by healing or salvation, all glory is returned to him. The church was gathered together, and those on the outside looked in and thought to themselves, there's no way that we could change our life. There's no way that we could live like that. But they didn't speak against the church. They just had such a respect for them to just allow them to do their thing. But still, some would be brought in and added to the church. Their hearts would be drawn in. And in Acts 5, it says the power just increased in the church. It was so strong at one point that Peter would walk down the road, and as his shadow passed over people, they would be healed. These things that I do, you will also do. And even greater things will you do, because I go to my Father. I've got a gift for you. I've got something for you. I've got someone who wants to make his home in you. And he will glorify me. He will testify me. He will become the moral standard. He will become the level of living that you'll want to be at. And they were all healed. Listen. Sickness angers me. I watched my father die from a crippling disease, and it infuriated me that I couldn't do anything about it. Not because I didn't have the power, but because the Lord said, listen, healing is not for him, but his salvation is. I pray that as a body, as a movement, we get so annoyed at sickness that it causes us to want to make a change. That it causes us to linger a little longer in a state of prayer, in a place of intimacy with our Father. That we ask him for the anointing to heal all disease. That we ask him for an anointing with the word that would cut to the heart of the hardest of the people that we know. Because whether or not you do believe it, the building won't burn down if you come in. Lightning won't strike us if you walk in the building. You're not so far gone that the Lord can't reach you. From the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to Acts chapter 11, verse 26, which it declares that the church, they were first called Christians, those like Christ. I just want to read you some incredible things that happened, and this is just by one group of people. And I want to encourage you online, I want to encourage you in the house today. I want you to go back and I want you to read the Gospels with the understanding that Jesus had no interest in overstaying his welcome on earth. I'm going to say that again. When you read the Gospels with the understanding that Jesus was preparing his church for his departure, you'll begin to see things in a whole new light. That it wasn't just Jesus doing it. He was showing his men. He was allowing them to fail. Remember the epileptic son who they couldn't heal? Jesus came back from a time of prayer and fasting to this commotion. And he's like, whoa, guys, what's going on here? And the dad's like, hey, listen, your guys have been trying to heal this, my boy, for hours. And they can't do a thing. Jesus wants to strike up a conversation because he knows it's only for another moment. It's like, how long has this been going on? The father's like, it's been a long time. These things overtake him and they throw him into the water and they throw him into the fire. And I just can't handle this anymore. Jesus says, listen, all I need you to do is believe. These are some of the conversations that you will have in the next days to those in your communities, in your workplaces. All I need you to do is believe. There's such an authority coming upon the church that it's going to cause a great shaking in our city and in our nation and around the world. And a lot of your conversations will be surrounded with only believe. And they're going to look at you and they're going to say, well, I believe, you know, I need to overcome my unbelief. The Father, this is all he knew. He knew that his son was sick. He knew that his son had a tormenting spirit. He knew that his son was tossed into the water and into the fire. And this was his normal. This was his reality. But what Jesus needed him to do was push past his normal. Push past what he knew with his eyes. Push past his reality. Because there's still a truth in the midst of your reality. And that's what Jesus saying about it. If he says that your sick family member, if he says that your unsaved friend can be saved, I need you to push past unbelief and I need them to push past unbelief because that's your reality, but there's still a truth in that. God's still speaking something. God's speaking something in this day. These things that I do, you will also do, and even greater things will you do because I'm going to my Father. I got something for you. I'm going to put something in you. You'll be clothed with power. Not just to raise the dead, so quit small thinking. But to win your neighbor. To heal depression. Listen, within the first 10 or 11 years of the church, and this is just one group of people, Luke was just one man. Luke just did and wrote what he saw. Right off the bat, 3,000 souls saved at the grand revealing of the Holy Spirit. To me, that's an awakening. The revival in the upper room became an awakening to those that were in Jerusalem. that, so we've learned the last 3 months that revival just doesn't happen corporately. It happens personally. So many people have received so many things that if we just remain in a corporate setting and remain in that comfort zone, we would have never received. But they spent time. They got with the Lord. They spent time. They lingered. They waited and received things that they probably never would have if we stayed in that corporate setting. Our revival becomes Edmonton's awakening. A lame man healed at the temple gates by Peter and John. That causes the religious leaders to say, we can't deny what has just happened. We can't hide it anymore. We didn't kill him on the cross. We just multiplied him. And this man, and I expressed this last week, and this is my imagination again. I just think on this a lot. I think on this a lot. And how many times Jesus would have passed him at the gates. Because he knew where to make his money. And Jesus was a faithful man. And he went for prayer at the temple, and he would have passed by them, and I think with everything in me, because it's romantic, but how many times Jesus would have looked at him, and him at Jesus, he would have known exactly who Jesus was. And Jesus speak in his heart and say, it's not your time yet. Oh, you wait to see what I have planned for you. You'll be for the full revealing of my body multiplied. Peter and John look at this man. They say, listen, we have no change to give you, but what we do have, we will give you. Get up and walk, arise. Get out from the position that you've been for years, because you're about to see the world from a whole new light and from a different perspective. Ananias and Sapphira are laid to rest for lying to Holy Spirit. I mean, there's a power in the church. You might think that that's a little off. I'm going to tell you right now. It just speaks of the power of the Holy Spirit. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. Among the people. Say among the people. That means in the public realm. That means out there in your malls, in your parks. They were done among the people. Listen, I love them when the miracles happen at the altars of the church. I do. But it wasn't meant solely for that. It was meant that we could go out and represent Christ in the public realm. I'm going to tell you right now, if somebody's walking through the park with their child in a wheelchair and you lay your hands upon that child and he or she gets up out of that chair, there's going to be questions. They were done among the people. And believers were added to the Lord. The sick were laid out on the street that even the Peter's shadow might fall upon them. People with tormenting spirits, all healed. Listen, angels were posting bail because they knew the message that was in the hearts of the men that were in the jail cell was too important to stay there. They needed to get back out, so they would come in, open the gates, open the prison doors, and they would just say, come on, everything that you have, it's way too important to be in here. Get out there, go into the public square, and you talk about the things pertaining to this life. Can you imagine that your life was so important to the Father that he sent an angel to post your bail for you? Stephen becoming the first martyr. Remember what Jesus said. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive the power to become witnesses. You'll receive the power to become my martyr. Your life will be given. Stephen wasn't concerned with what it would look like and what he'd be missing out on this earth. He simply wanted to glorify the Father. And I love the fact, and this is, again, my imagination, but, you know, it says that Jesus was standing in the clouds. He saw Jesus standing. I know that when Jesus went back, he sat at the right hand of the Father, which means he got up off that throne to watch what was going on. Giving Stephen an approval. You've done well, my son. You've done well. You withheld nothing from me. Philip preaching Christ, preaching the anointed one, and seeing fruit in Samaria, then being translated to Azotus. I mean, this is what's been going on. Holy Spirit comes to earth and nothing's the same. Men aren't concerned with how they're going to get from here to there anymore. He's just, you know, seeing fruit in Samaria. And Holy Spirit's like, well, I need you over here now. So I'm going to just bring you over here. Translate it in a moment. You think it's out there? I'm going to tell you right now, it's still happening this day. It's still happening in these days. You can think that's fanaticism or not. I know it to be true that people are still being translated. Way too many testimonies, way too many men and women that I trust talking about it. Ananias heeding the voice of the Lord and going to lay his hands on Saul. And this is a bigger deal than you know, because Saul was the persecutor. He was the one. And Ananias had to check with Holy Spirit as he was speaking, with Jesus as he was speaking, and saying, the Saul? Listen, you better know your call if you're going to lay hands on Saul. You can remember that one. You better know your call if you're going to lay hands on Saul. There he was. He heeded the voice of the Holy Spirit, said, okay, I'm going to go do it. Releasing Saul into ministry, who became Paul, who became one of our most prolific teachers in our movement. Dorcas being revived. And the reason I love this account is because the same way that they went to get Jesus is the same way that they went to get Peter. Peter's in the next town. Go get him. He'll know what to do. I can't wait till somebody calls my phone or knocks on my door and says, hey, Jamie, they're going to need you in Red Deer because there's a prominent member of society that has passed away, and we know that you have the power to raise the dead. Sorry, I'm going to let that one sink in. Listen, the only thing greater than your imagination is heaven. Everything else is on the table. If you understood who was in you, you would understand that anything's possible. You would understand that cancer doesn't have a chance around you. That blind eyes are all but unlocked when you walk in the room. That deaf ears are open, that the dead, they're just going to sit up when you walk into the room. Holy Spirit falling upon the Gentiles. That's you and I. That's we. Again, Peter's requested to be at this meeting, because Peter will know what to do. Guess what? Peter's a representation of the church. You remember back in Matthew 16? When Jesus was having a conversation with Peter. He said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father has. He said, I'm going to change everything about you. I'm going to change everything about you. I'm going to call you the Rock. Because you have a new revelation in your heart. It's a revelation of me, in my power, in my fullness. And he said, upon this revelation, I'm going to build my church upon this rock. Peter's a representation of who we are, of what the Lord's wanting. We have the revelation. We've been given the Spirit. Now it's time to go and glorify the Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit falling upon the Gentiles in multiple multiplications. Multiple multiplications. The church was growing at a rapid rate. All because they became who they became when Holy Spirit came upon them. I just want to encourage you, those of you that are watching online, those of us in this room today, there has been a change in your life. There has been given to you an authority that is unmatched. The Lord has given you the ability to be like Him, to heal like He healed, to declare like He declared, to speak like He spoke. He has given you the authority. And it's not one that causes us to shudder, but it's one that causes us to have peace in knowing that I have the ability to make right everything that is wrong. Saints, it's time that we become. It's time that we understand that we have the answer hidden in our hearts. And it's an answer that doesn't want to stay hidden any longer. Today is the day that we celebrate Pentecost. And it's today that we declare that, Holy Spirit, you are free to do whatever you want to do in and through us. That from this moment forward, no longer will we hide you. No longer will we relent when you ask us to take action. That we will walk out the things that you're speaking to our hearts. And Lord, I thank you for the ability and the opportunity to fulfill the works that you began, Lord. We do not take this lightly. But we declare with a boldness that we will see Edmonton changed for Jesus. That we will see Alberta changed for Jesus. And if we are the only ones going, then we will go, but we know we won't be. So Lord, let your strength rest upon our hearts. Let a boldness rise up inside of us. And let your peace surround us as we go and fulfill the works that you began. Lord, we bless you and we honor you and we thank you. In your name, amen. Chris. Family, bless you. Pastor Chris, Pastor Nikki, we love you. We're so thankful that you stepped in, out in obedience and walked this walk. And know we are running with you. Bless you.